On Sunday, we considered the ending of Mark's Gospel as an invitation for us to consider our own responses to the news of Jesus' resurrection and for us to continue to tell the story in our own lives and our own way and our own time. Some of us have been trying to live someone else's story for so long that this is an essential reminder. But like many, perhaps most things in the Christian life, there is another and paradoxical side to consider. We're going to think about that for a moment today on the Covenant Weekly Podcast, Episode 16, Well-Trodden Paths. It is, I hope, a beautiful invitation for you to embrace your own journey with Jesus. It should be invigorating for us as a church to seek to discern our own unique way to embody the family of God in this place. But trying to do that with a blank slate in front of us can seem impossible. It could be like standing in front of a vast swath of jungle and being told, "Get to the waterfalls on the other side," but then not being given any path to follow, any map, or even any compass. You know, no matter how excited we might be about the journey, being uncertain about the direction and being unclear about the terrain and, well, getting quickly exhausted by the effort can leave us with little energy, little hope, and struggling for joy. Thankfully, this is not the life of the individual Jesus follower or of the Jesus community. We aren't left with no map, no guide, no paths to follow. We have the records of many who have gone before us. Some have gotten lost. Some have found amazing things on their way through the jungle. Some have carved paths that have long since grown over. Some well-worn paths have actually gone off in the completely wrong direction. And we also have been given maps. They're really more like topographic maps than road maps. And we've been given a compass. You know, we know the general direction of our destination because Jesus has embodied it in his life, teaching death and resurrection. And the testimonies of millions who have gone before us reveal the topography of the journey with its ups and downs, with its sweet waters and dry deserts. And their stories show paths that have been used. Some of those paths may be exactly what we need for a time in our lives. Others of those paths we may have been following and not looking at the compass, and despite best of intentions, we've been heading away from the true destination for a while. The invitation we always have is to keep our eyes on Jesus, to point us on the way, to heed the topography that's been revealed by others, and to take advantage of paths laid out that will help us on our own journey with and to Jesus. Without keeping our eyes on Jesus, it's likely we will get wandering in the wrong direction and potentially into dangers we are unaware of. Some of those dangers will feel like dangers. Other dangers actually feel like safety, security, or pleasure. It seems to me that in our world of relative security and comfort, the more active dangers for most of us are in that latter category. We think we're keeping ourselves and our kids and our friends safe, but we're actually being kept away from the true destination. To avoid that, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. As I mentioned, the topography has been revealed through the life of Jesus and the lives of many who have gone before us. You know, even if their path has grown over, the record of what they experienced is there for us to see. You know, it's nice to know when we're high on a hill, when the sun is shining brightly and the birds are singing, what might be ahead. When we're in those places, keeping going can feel easy. And so it's encouraging to know in advance and to know in our time of struggle that for virtually every believer, there are going to be times when the ground is cracked and dry. That's a part of the topography of the journey with and to Jesus. And knowing that there are times when it's dark and closed in and it feels like we're cut off from the light, you know, that can be good to know so that when we face it, we know it's not something wrong with us. Knowing these parts of the topography are things that we will experience, can keep us from stopping or turning back. It can lead us to call out and keep stepping forward. Because the topography also reveals that there is life and light on the other side of the dark, if we pay attention. And it's helpful to know that we can look for and join in on paths that have been marked out before us. And not just the well-trodden paths we have perhaps been walking for decades. Again, it's possible that the path you've been following that somebody else laid out for you actually isn't taking you in the best direction. When we think about paths, there are many and ancient paths for you to consider. The most ancient are songs once sung, usually now recited. Songs like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Songs like this are a path. "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die." These are helpful, well-trodden paths for us to walk on as we try to navigate our way. Jesus himself added to our canon of paths in response to his disciples' question about prayer. So, "Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." In the two millennia of the church, the words of many others have added their own paths. Names like Paul of Tarsus, Ignatius, Justin Martyr, Origen, Tertullian, and Augustine got things started in the first few hundred years. The desert mothers and fathers added their trails. Gregory of Nyssa and John Cassian marked different trails that resonated with men like Benedict of Nursia and eventually Ignatius of Loyola and women like Claire of Assisi. In the past 500 years, the advent of the printing press has contributed to thousands of other voices sharing their trails with us. That includes theological voices like Luther and Calvin and Cranmer and Knox and Simons. Von Zinzendorf, Wesley, and Whitfield continued to add trails behind them. More contemporary names like Barthes, Brueggemann, Peterson, Willard, Hauras, Grenz, and Sider have deepened old trails and carved new ones as well. But many of you may only have vague familiarity with their paths. You might be more familiar with the trails marked by poets and practitioners, hymn writers like Isaac Watts, Charles Wesley, Fanny Crosby, and Philip Bliss, wordsmiths like John Milton, John Donne, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Christina Rossetti, C.S. Lewis, and Wendell Berry, practitioners like William and Catherine Booth, Dorothy Day, Martin Luther King Jr., John Stott, Teresa of Calcutta, Henry Nouwen, and Fred Rogers. These are only a handful of the multitude of people who have marked paths before us and whose words, songs, and lives can serve as guides and as companions for us as we walk our own journey. And I know in each of our lives we have our own guides, men and women who have sought to follow Jesus well and have offered us their wisdom in showing us the path that they have followed. May we be people who listen well, heed the well-trodden paths of those who have gone before, while also maintaining the freedom to forge new ones as we first and foremost follow the compass way of Christ. Let me close by reading a poem written by one of the wordsmiths who has gone before us, Christina Rossetti. You know, this may not be a previous path that resonates with you, but then again, it might be exactly something that helps you. This is called A Better Resurrection. I have no wit, no words, no tears. My heart within me like a stone is numbed too much for hopes or fears. Look right, look left, I dwell alone. I lift mine eyes, but dimmed with grief, no everlasting hills I see. My life is in the falling leaf. Oh, Jesus, quicken me. My life is like a faded leaf, my harvest dwindled to a husk. Truly, my life is void and brief and tedious in the barren dusk. My life is like a frozen thing, no bud nor greenness can I see. Yet, rise it shall, the sap of spring. O Jesus, rise in me. My life is like a broken bowl that cannot hold one drop of water for my soul or cordial in the searching cold. Cast in the fire, the perished thing, melt and remold it till it be a royal cup for him, my king. O Jesus, drink of me. The main thing for you to be aware of this week is that we will again be receiving communion on Sunday. This is one of those really important, well-trodden paths that can keep us oriented in the right direction on our journey. If you'll be participating in the service from home, we invite you to prepare some bread and wine prior to the service. Until then, I pray you will have joy and comfort and rest on your journey with and to Jesus today. God bless. Go in peace.